The topic I was given is the investor mindset, decoding what drives funding decisions for startups. So in other words, I interpreted it to mean understanding the investor's perspective. You as an entrepreneur, somebody wanting to enter the corporate sector, somebody wanting to start a business, you need to understand the investor's perspective in order to increase your chances of securing funding. Okay? You can move to the next one. You can move on. So let's begin by looking at exactly the startup. I know we are all talking startup. We may have discussed it. We understand. But let's just walk through that before we then look at the investor's perspective. A startup, if this might sound like repetition, it's not repetition, it's just emphasis. Take it to be emphasis. It's a young, early-stage company focused on developing a unique product. If your product is unique and your product can work and your product can answer a question or a need, the chances of getting funding are great. You know, it's got to be a unique product, a unique service, or a business model that's unique. I think I spoke to one or two people trying to explain what I was trying to get at. And I think I said, you know, we are talking of AI in other languages. Where is AI in Shona? I didn't know that that was going to be answered right before me. Thanks, Shido. Where is she? Oh, yeah. Well done. I was talking about it before knowing that you were coming to answer that question. I was saying, where is AI in Shona? Where is AI in Ndebele? And the answer has come. So, and that's what really brings money. That's what attracts money. It's got to be a unique idea. The goal is addressing a specific problem, a specific need. And next slide. Really, the characteristics of a successful or potentially successful startup, I put them like this. Innovation, aim to create something new or significantly improve an existing solution, so much so that when you do that, the solution that you have worked on improving gets eclipsed by what you have created, because that becomes a new solution. Scalability. If you come to me looking for money, I don't just put money so that you start. I want to put money so that you continue, because I want to continue reaping the benefits. So, have you identified underserved markets? That's the idea behind potentially successful startups, or entirely new markets. I remember when I entered banking in Zimbabwe, people were like, where are you going to get the market? I mean, this market is overbanked. That was a very popular statement. It's overbanked. But I knew that the rest of our people were nowhere near being banked. And when we started, we didn't take any clients from any existing banks. Rather, those existing banks benefited from the market that we created, a new market, a new breed of blacks who came into the banking sector, and everybody just grew. So as a startup, that's the idea. And startups will operate under serious uncertainties. The environment, you don't know. You can do your research, yes, but you are never sure whether the people will respond, you know, the product market fit, whether people are going to accept your product and really bring in the money. The customer demand, you can do your research, your survey, but still it's uncertain when you are a startup. Competition. Because what often happens is when you as a startup get into the market, the existing people wake up, and because they probably may have resources ahead of you, they may dribble you and use your coming in against you. Next. And startups, and that's why we are talking about funding, they normally have limited resources. They usually begin with small teams. I think when I started the bank, it was myself, my colleague, a messenger, and a PA. We were four when we started. In 9 months, we were 10. In 18 months, we were 200. In 3 years, we were 500. By the time we were 10 years, we were over 1,000. But we started as four, small teams. So when you are starting today with just yourself, don't underestimate that. We'll see that as we progress. They operate under constrained budgets, relying heavily on creativity. That's one aspect of a startup, creativity. That's where your money is. And adaptability, you must be ready to pivot should you have to. Funding dependence is a key characteristic of a startup. You have to seek external funding, angel investors, venture capitalists, loans and grants. I think Chido talked of bootstrapping. We all know what bootstrapping is. It's not strapping your shoes. It's when you are using your own resources or the resources generated by the business. So that's our focus for this session. I'll try not to be AI-driven. Just there. Okay. The tech industry is particularly known for startups, but the primary goal of a startup is to validate its business idea and eventually evolve into a sustainable, profitable company. So it's a seed. Next slide. Just from that, the insight is every mega company today, whether conglomerate or transnational, was yesterday a startup. So don't underestimate what you are about. Everyone begins as a startup. It is like a grain of mustard. Those of us who read the Bible, this is the best illustration of what a startup is. You've got an idea. My brother, Trevor, you are incubating ideas. That's the power of the idea. It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. And you know what happens in the garden? You water it. And the water for a startup is finance, is money. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. When you have now come up, a lot of our people, who, the kind of families that you look after are many. Next one, please. Now let's look at the investors' mindset. What drives funding decisions for startups? You come into my office and you are saying you've got this We are not going to watch that. I was going to show you a video that illustrates the thinking of, but because of our time, I'll just go into the narratives. We can watch it some other time. What those guys do, I saw there is a Nigerian version of this now. They will tear you to pieces when you make your presentation and you are looking for money. It shows the mindset of the investor. Let's go deep into the investor's mind. This is what the investor is looking for when you approach them. Or the banker, if you come to me, that's what I'm looking for. You answer those things, you are probably 80% sure you will get the money. Investors seek returns on their investment because I have no business giving you money to sink it. I give you money for it to bear fruit. So, just be sure that what you have brings money. Why should I risk? You don't want to risk your own money. You want me to risk my money. That's how the investor thinks. So, returns, whether in the form of equity, profitable equity, dividends, or exit value, depending on the nature of the funding. Usually, if you go for venture capitalists, they look at the exit value. They still look at the dividends before they exit. So those are the things that you have to validate that you can produce. You have that. If you come to the bank, if you take an overdraft or an advance or a loan, whatever you call it, they will look to interest. And when you fail, they will forget that they were trying to help you. They will want more than you. The aim is, back to the other one, is to minimize risk while maximizing returns. That's the investor's mindset. Okay, next one. The investor looks at the market potential and traction. I think there was a question Chido was being asked. It's that point there. They are looking at the market potential and the traction. Are you going to grow? If so, for how long? Are you a business for generations? Or are you a business for one generation or even just for a week? The investor looks at that, the size of the addressable market. You might have 20 million people in a country. How many of them will form part of your market? Maybe there's only 500,000 that you are going to reach out. The investor wants to know that. The growth rate, potential for expansion, customer acquisition and retention. Are the customers coming to stay or they'll come in maybe out of excitement and exit tomorrow? Revenue growth and momentum. How long would it take you to reach a certain level? That's the way the investor thinks. A startup in a 1 billion market with 20% monthly growth rate is more attractive than one in a stagnant market. The investor looks at all that. Next one. Competitive advantage, unique value proposition. What are you bringing? Because it's that uniqueness that's going to give you the competitive advantage. If you're bringing in something that's ordinary, you'll be overtaken tomorrow. You may not be able to sell. You may not be able to make profits. The investor will not be interested in that. Unique technology, intellectual property, or innovation. That's why the questions, are the Shonas and the Ndebeles and the Shanganis, are they going to be able to provide you with the kind of base in terms of volume that you require? Or they are still underprivileged, therefore they are not viable customers? in which case you are better off getting a grant from government, because a grant you don't need to pay back. Are you creating a strong brand or network? Do you have network connections? Investors look to see whether your product as a startup has barriers to entry for competitions. If that is the case, you are likely to get the money tomorrow. The value proposition must be very clear. A startup with a patented technology that solves a significant pain point has a strong competitive advantage. That's what investors are looking at. Next one. Team strength and experience. When I started my bank, I think I was probably so experienced that when I stood up to pitch for funding, almost everyone, they even wanted me not to put my own money. They were competing to put money. Are you in the game? Are you experienced enough? Is your team experienced enough to ensure that you are a success proposition even from the beginning? The founder has to be an experienced person in the game, in the area, in the industry, and must have a track record. The team must have the skills and expertise, adaptable, able to pivot. Leadership and vision. Do you have the passion? Are you really in there for... Because some people will approach for funding, and before you even write the check, they're busy looking for another project. You don't know whether the very project they brought to you is going to continue to have leadership, because they are now split. They forget that you can't serve two masters. If you come to me like that, I will also look aside and you won't get the money. A team with a proven track record of success is more likely to secure funding than not. Next one. Your financial projections, are they realistic? Are they achievable? Are they pointing to growth? Is the business looking like it's going to really scale up? Like we said earlier, if it's going to be a 12-month business, I don't have time to invest in something like that. Your cash flows, because we don't want to start today and tomorrow you can't pay your bills. All that comes into it. A startup with a clear path to profitability and scalable business model is more attractive to investors. That's the investor mindset. Okay, next one. How are we doing with 20 minutes?
Yeah, there's a 5 minutes.
I'm left with 5. I think I over-prepared. You don't know what I've got in there. You have to understand, you see, you don't go and pitch for funding for a bank to somebody who, an investor whose interest is in cattle. They won't hear you. You have to decide that pension funds like this, insurance companies like this, so that you don't waste your time going to all and sundry. It must be something, because investors look to, does it fit my portfolio? Does it fit my thesis? If you do that, your chances are much stronger when you approach them. Must align with the investor's focus areas. The summary of that is a startup in the fintech space may be more attractive to an investor with a focus on financial technology. So you have to, if you are a hunter of finance, to be looking at that, understanding how investors think. Next. quickly, just looking at some of the concerns that investors have, because we are trying to look at what investors really do before we approach them. They look to the market risk and competition. It's a major thing. Because they don't want to throw money into a business that's not going to be able to stand competition. They want to understand that you as a promoter, the owner of that startup, have done your homework. You understand your competition, because they will bury you before you start. They want to see sustainability. Is it sustainable? These days, depending on what it is, they also want to look at ECG issues. All that comes into play before they release their money. I think earlier yesterday there was talk when we started about the law, regulation. It is actually a risk, particularly in places like our country, but generally in Africa. A financial sector, for example, I can tell you for sure the reason why mobile companies went into mobile money, it was not because banks were slow. It was because banks were forbidden. They were refused. When we started Intermarket in 2002, we started announcing that we are a branchless bank. That was before any of these mobile monies. We started talking of cell phone banking in 2002, and we were denied the opportunity. Regulatory risk.
Yeah.
They killed the that innovative banking at that time. So it's a major risk that investors look at. Compliance. I don't want to talk against central banks, but they are the last, they are the slowest in terms of innovation. They are the last to innovate. I don't know why. But that regulatory risk is a major thing that an investor will look at. Finally, team dynamics and execution risk. If we give you the money, are you going to actually execute your plan? Or we give you the money and you are not able to execute? That is the mind of the investor. Next one. And the summary, key takeaways, call to action. Understand the investor's mindset and increase your chances of securing funding for your startup. Final thoughts, remember, funding is not just about the money. It's about finding the right partner for your startup's growth and success. So when you are looking for funding, when you are looking for investors, you have to look for somebody who has the fit, somebody who will flow with you. Otherwise, you may bring people in your arrangement who actually will work against you because they won't understand what you are about. Next one, I might have one or two final thoughts. You don't want to hear this, but this is for the young among us. If you're going to be a promoter, a startup promoter, an entrepreneur, as God, you must look to things that are not seen. I don't talk about AI like a marvel. I want to go beyond AI. You have to look beyond what is happening today. Even though AI is a marvel, you have to go beyond now. You come to me with that. I'm one investor who will listen to you even without you explaining much. If I see that you are looking beyond, you are seeing beyond what is happening now. The true startup promoter as an entrepreneur, they do not consult history that it's happening in America, it's happening in Silicon Valley. They make history. That's me. If you come to me with something never heard before, I will listen to you and hear it. That's a different type of investor. The pioneer, the pathfinder, that's why it's written, behold, I do a new thing. That is the mind of the investor. Thank you.
God has been good to me. I was one of the first people to interview this man when it was him, his secretary, and his partner, and they were sharing a little office like this. Tell me at that moment, you then went to build acquire Southampton Life Assurance and Intermarket and that kind of stuff. At that moment, did you see this? Yes, we're told, behold, I'm doing a new thing. But in that little tiny office, talk to me about that.
Thanks, Trevor. I did see it. I think because I was coming from a very liberated mind, having worked in Zim for many years in the financial sector, got poached, if you like, by the Commonwealth Secretariat. They sent me to Ghana to, as it were, set up the discount house there and redo the financial sector. So I had gone through the mill, so to speak. When the idea, the vision came, it was like an explosion. So when I came back, I think a lot of people didn't quite understand. They thought it was just me at the time. And by that time, too, I was born again. I was a completely different person. I was not seeing the world as I had seen it before. I was seeing new things. I was filled with the excitement, the challenge that I'm going to do it in my country. So, yeah.
Share that. So you're looking at young people who are getting into business. What gets you into that space of seeing beyond where you are right now, being excited? You can't be held back. What advice do you give to these young people in this room?
You know,
envisioning something that doesn't exist and being fired up to achieve what has never been done before.
For me, I think it was a collection of things. First of all, when I was working, I loved what I was doing. I read widely. There was this newspaper called the Financial Times, when it was really in its element, which was all about banking, business, finance. I used to read it end to end. I came across a book which also blew my mind at the time. It was called A Sense of Mission. I think I've got the author somewhere. I read that book on one trip between Harare and London, and it gave me a challenge as to I can do anything. Then came my being born again. I can do all things, you know, through Christ
who strengthens me.
All those things were playing up on me. And I think it was just as well. Maybe if it were now, maybe I may not have done it. But at that time.
You know, I want to emphasize clearly people in this room get you reading books. The Financial Times, throwing it to the generation, do we read books? Do we read notable journals? Or we read WhatsApp? Shall we have questions for Nick? I have lots of questions for Nick. I know Nick's story. Panache, another banker in the room, he's got his hand up. Dr. Wazara, he's got his hand up. Do we have a mic? or shall we give you this one? Oh, there's another one there. Okay. Start with Dr. Wazera and going Panache Zoe.
So we came, a friend of mine and myself, to your office in 1998 to start a company that was called a startup called Road Rescue. And I'm speaking just to testify to what you were saying. We had been around the entire country and nobody would listen to us because we were in our late 20s and they thought we couldn't pull this countrywide business. And you were the first person that sat with us. It may have been now in 2000 and listened to us for the very first time. You couldn't do anything at the time, but you gave us some of these pointers. I'm hearing it's not the first time that you're talking about this. And it gave us the energy to go, and we started the company. It made waves. It then was affected by just some boardroom wrangles, and again got involved, and still am involved with CityMed, SouthMed, Chitungwiza, which you started at the time. So you the remark that I'm wanting to make is that it's hard to be listened to as a startup, but I think that story that was being told, that just keep coming closer to the door, it will open. So we've been shareholders now in that CityMed for the last 15 years now, which you created, and it has the biggest theater in Harare still.
You know, some of you, the young ones in here, might not know how privileged you are to sit with this man here. Nick has trained almost all bankers, worth calling bankers, in this town. Which town are we in, by the way? In Zimbabwe. They all pass through this man's hand. So you're very good at that, training young people, and they go on and they do their own things, and they are successful. But one thing that you are good at, which a lot of people might not know, I know you very well, is your staying power, your ability to be in what people see a backlund, they think that you're not going to survive, and you survive and you make it. Talk to us about what keeps you going in those spaces. I mean, you're currently in a battle. What keeps you going? These are tough times. This is not like Ethel going to look at the door and the door opening. This is more than that. Talk to us about that space.
That's a heavy one. But, you know, a lot of people still prevaricate when you talk about God, when you talk about being born again, when you talk about, you know, being a Christian. I can't do that because I would want to state, I can't say claim, but state that I actually met God face to face. And I know where I'm going. I can't be defeated by challenges because I will have seen the end from the beginning. So what keeps me going is that it's no longer just faith, it's knowledge of the end game. Because when you know you are in the right, when you know you have done nothing wrong, if somebody says you stole and you know you didn't, it doesn't enter you. Because what tends to destroy people is what, in Shona Tunoti, chakushika, when it gets into you. Now, it doesn't get into me because it's a lie. I can even laugh. And, of course, my faith is based on reality, because God is real. And if somebody does something to me, I rather feel sorry for them, and I keep going. When I was starting Intermarket, close people, very close people that I really valued. They were telling me that, no, you can't do this. How are your children going to go to school? If this thing fails, they were telling me, if it fails, I knew it wasn't going to fail. I understood them.
That's a powerful place to be, I think, for all the young guys that came and pitched here. How much do you believe in yourself? How much faith do you have in what you're doing? But much more importantly for me and Nick, what are you standing on? What are you believing in? That becomes very, very important. And the fact that, Nick, you're not doing this because I saw Dr. Wazara doing it. You're doing it because it is born in you. It's what you want to do. Am I right?
That's true. You know, when you see, the power is in the seeing. You know, when you have seen it, again, allow me to go back into scripture. It says, Abraham didn't waver through unbelief. He just continued, right? All the heroes of faith, they saw the vision afar off. And because they were seeing it, nothing could dissuade them from where they were going. If you have a vision of that startup and you know you are not just anybody. That's why I was talking about, let's have AI in Shona, let's have AI in Debele. If you've seen it, you know, money is in the vision itself. Money is not coming from outside. Anybody who brings money to you is because they have seen value. You see, the problem with Africans is we believe that money comes from Europe. Money comes from America, from India even. Money comes from, we don't know that money is within us. That's where the issue is.
Powerful. Panache, are you ready with your question?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for the presentation. I think for me, my question really is about the investor. We do capital raise and we find that the biggest challenge is with the startups. You know, the investors like the seasoned businesses, you know, that have been there for 10, whatever, 15, 20 plus years. It seems like we don't have any challenges with getting capital to come into there. But the startups, there's always the back and forth. I was actually speaking to someone this morning here. The true value, what is the true value of the startup? The investors thinking it's X amount. The owners are thinking, you know, it's X amount. And then there's the back and forth and eventually no deal is actually closed. So I just want to get your guidance or I guess advice, just what we can do to help these startups, because there's a lot of potential to for them to be able to grow and expand. But investors sometimes just don't see it.
The toing and froing over valuation, the emotional attachment to what you think you've built and the reality of how the market perceived what you've built.
Yeah, there are two things here. The one promoting the startup has to be realistic. The one wanting to come into the startup has to be realistic. There is a balance that's going to come. But the other thing is, if you come to a person like me, and I think there are many of us, like I said, I was a startup. Because I was a startup, I have a good picture of what value you may be as a startup. And if I'm your sort of investor, I'm unlikely to cause you problems of valuations because I came from there. So it's a question, I think I did say earlier on, don't go and pitch to some person who doesn't fit your intended, because if you go there, then they will give you that problem. So it's a question of choosing the approaches. The tendency is to go to all and sundry. If you do that, you are going to meet people who won't understand what you're about. So choose your targets, so to speak. But yes, there will always be that to and froing. But any serious parties will come to an agreement. That's my view.
Nick, to be fair, your environment, yours and mine, when we got into business, was different from what things are right now.
It was, yeah.
I mean, I could go into Beverly Building Society and get a mortgage, go and refinance my house as a way of raising capital. True. All those possibilities don't exist now. So what do we tell the young people trying to raise money in an environment where, to all intents and purposes, banks don't have the money? There isn't the patient capital to talk about. There isn't the angel investors to talk about. Where should they be going to fundraise?
It's a tricky one, Trevor. Our situation as Zimbabwe is unique. We have destroyed the financial infrastructure, the financial system. It's no longer what it was. The point now is, will it ever be? And I'm not advocating that we go back to those days, but can the system be rebooted? Can it be brought back together? Yes, it can. It may be too late for some of the young men wanting finance today, but in the chaos still, there are people who may be seeking investments, but we have literally destroyed our financial architecture is not there anymore. The expertise that we had, the people are there that were there then, which we needed, because we needed those people to pass on the skills to the current generation. It didn't happen because they were cut off, you know. So, but you shouldn't lose heart. There are, call them angel investors, individuals. They are there.
Yeah. I was looking for this term, which we use around in the marketplace. I don't, some people use it. Zurukfire. And everybody tends to go there, and people lose money because you've gone to where everybody else is going. Nick, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll have time to engage again. Thank you so much. Thank you.